Hi, this is comedian Liz Blanc, and you're listening to The Default Setting with Jess Falstick and Gigi Chick, presented by Above Below Entertainment.
Welcome to The Default Setting, where we find out what makes you tick, because we have ways of making you talk. My name is Jess Falstick.
And I am Gigi Chick.
Today, our guest is comedian and host of Game Show Live, which is every Thursday at the Alex Theater at the Nine?
Yeah. All right. A couple Thursdays.
Random Thursdays.
Off, because I will say the first week in August, we are off.
Okay.
Because there's already
November
something
when this
booked
airs,
there.
So.
There's like a huge conference or something.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Some Thursdays at the Alex Theater.
Thursdays.
At the Nine. Mr. Steve Guy, hi.
Hi.
Thanks for coming.
7 p.m., I guess
you
I should say that.
You do so much shit. You, you're host of, what is the AIW podcast?
Yeah, it's called The Card is Going to Change.
Okay.
AIW is a wrestling promotion that I ring announce for.
I do the Wingman podcast, which I've been a guest on twice, which
yep.
was fun.
Wingman podcast.
We got your upstairs neighbor tromboning the whole time we were, and that's not a euphemism. He was actually tromboning.
Yeah, it's a real thing that he does.
The entire time. You could just hear him upstairs like, wah, 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 like upstairs the whole time.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was like talking about relationships and it was like, wah, wah.
I never know if he's teaching people or if he just like, I've lived in the same place for I think almost 3 years now. And either he teaches people or he has not gotten better in 3 years.
Yeah, it's not good.
Which is not...
I really hope it's the former where he's just teaching children. And
I just can't picture someone just continuing to play just for fun when they're not like good at an instrument.
There must be like warm-up notes or something
yeah.
maybe that he plays. And maybe
arpeggio.
That's what I hear. Yeah. Exactly.
Your default setting, we've decided, is relatable.
All right.
And we're going to dive into that. He's
and
like, sure.
Decide.
Yeah, why not? Well, because what we talked about is that people, Steve has mentioned that he's kind of a Renaissance man, which, you know, he just, you're into everything, right? Like you have interests all across the board. I just thought of something kind of marginally relatable to you being relatable. He came in and I offered him a LaCroix and he was like, fuck no. And I was like, no, it's mango. And then he had it and he was like, yeah, no, this is actually pretty good. So like, see, you can get, even stuff you don't think you can get down with, you're down with. So...
I'm up for trying things.
Yeah.
I think that's what makes me relatable.
Yeah.
I have a weird background that's not it's unique to me, but it's different. It's not it's not common to a lot of people. And then so, you know, through that I'm just like, all right, well, whatever. My eyes are open.
Yeah.
Let me try some stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
So I guess kind of scaling back to the original sort of thing that brought this up is you had mentioned people kind of tend to think they have you pegged. Like, how do people often think that they've perceived you?
It always varies in how I know people. So even doing stand-up, the funny thing is people that I went to high school with, right? And they would find out years later that I started doing stand-up and it's like, oh, well, I never would have thought you as somebody that did. I'm like, oh, well, that's, you know, we never had that conversation. So of course you wouldn't, you know, I kind of kept it to myself. You thought I was what I was. And in high school, I didn't really belong to a certain clique. I was that person that just got along with everybody. I played football.
That's how I was too.
Like I played football. So you'd be like, oh, you're a jock. Well, no, because then I'm like in all the super smart classes and hanging out with the nerdy kids, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I wasn't anywhere. Mm-hmm. And then always just, That's who I was. And
were
even,
people surprised about that in high school, or was that pretty much just like, no, that's just Steve and how he is? Or
I think people didn't necessarily pay attention all the time.
Yeah,
I think sometimes people forgot and they just assumed that I was part of their group and didn't realize that I was in some other group, right?
Yeah,
and so even it worked out. So I was senior class president, and but the way that worked out is just I knew enough people and got along with everybody. They're like, your name's on the ballot with one other person. They're like, oh, yeah, well, this guy's all right.
Yeah.
You know, and then you win. But then I'm also the kid who, like, I didn't grow up in a wealthy family. And I worked almost every day of the week on top of football practice and, you know, going to school. Mm. So I mean, I had a job since I was 13 years old. So when you talk about a kid that things weren't handed to, I'm that kid, yeah. You know? And then
I find kids who are self-sufficient often end up being like, they have wide varying interests. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you're kind of left to your own devices. You don't have anyone telling you like, you should like cars. You should like sport. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
You
like,
just do it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, now it's always funny because it's like, I do the wrestling stuff. And when I first started ring announcing and then little by little, all these wrestling fans that come to the promotion, they find out that I do stand up. Oh man, you do comedy too. And they all just think that
do you have any crossover fans?
Some.
Yeah.
You know, Ray Highclack.
Oh, shout out Ray Highclack.
But it's a weird thing because all the wrestling people just think that you're a huge wrestling nerd.
Sure.
And I'm like, look, that's, I love it, but that's only a small part of what
okay,
I grew up loving
so
it.
So let's address this apropos all of this. So I don't watch wrestling. I used to as a kid. Like I was actually in the era of Tatanka and The Undertaker and was it Yokozuna and all
Yokozuna,
those guys.
Yeah.
I was obsessed. Like, but my parents thought it was too violent because that was the era of when like, you know, Tipper Gore thought rap music and video games made kids violent. So my mom and dad said we couldn't watch wrestling because they thought it was too violent. But
she tried to get AC/DC in trouble.
Yeah.
One of my favorite bands of
all
time. Which
are like one of the least vulgar. I mean, they say some stuff about balls in a song and that's about it. But I have 100 friends who are like through and through obsessed. Some of my friends who are through and through obsessed, it seems like it's the only thing they're interested in. And I don't know if you've run into this at all with wrestling fans. I'm not trying to disparage it. It's just,
so,
I literally don't understand why you wouldn't be interested in anything else.
Yeah, sometimes it is the only thing that they're into.
Yeah.
And then there are a lot of comics that are into wrestling as
well.
That's
why I have like 100 friends.
That's the weird crossover.
Yeah.
I think most comics, like guys that I know, are wrestling fans. But a lot of wrestling fans that I know aren't necessarily comedy fans. But I have met a lot of wrestlers that are.
I have heard like...
they're very similar, the worlds.
When the two worlds collide, though, it doesn't always go well because I think it's the wrestling fans get rowdy and start heckling and, you know, that
kind of stuff. Yeah, so as a wrestling fan, you can shout, obviously, at a match the entire time. You're shouting,
you're
booing,
you're
very vocal. Mm. It doesn't work that way in a comedy show. Like, you need people to just shut up.
Yeah.
And, you know, you show your support in different ways. And yeah, it's very hard to cross over. I always love, though, now that like more comics know who I am in terms of the wrestling world, like people literally will do wrestling jokes just because
I'm there. I love it.
And I don't remember who it was recently, but somebody, I think it was their Brother's Lounge last week.
I was at that show.
When dude did a joke, it was about Chris Benoit, which is a wrestler who murdered his family.
Right.
And he's like, oh, that one was just for Steve Guy. I'm like, damn it. Like, why? We don't have to.
It doesn't have to be this way.
You know, like, they always want to quote wrestling. It's like, all right, guys, listen, there's more. I'm obviously here with you. Like,
I know.
It's okay.
And that's the thing. Like, I know there's literally absolutely nothing with being obsessed with wrestling. It's just, I find it difficult to imagine only being interested in that one thing. You know what I mean? Because I've just not
imagine
met
being
a lot
me
of
who has an interest in so
right!
many
and
things.
Then people only want to talk to you about wrestling,
which is fine. Again,
I mean, you know enough about it that you can have a conversation, which is
being
good.
Relatable. Yeah, like yeah, that. Yeah. All right, that's the thing that we relate
which
to,
which is cool.
And I get that, and that's cool. And then, look, I have friends all over who are like, man, you're always so busy. When are we going to hang out again? We're going to do this. I have so many different levels and groups of friends that I understand. I relate to all of them on different levels, but I don't bring them together. And sometimes people are like, well, why don't you just do that? Wouldn't it be easier? I'm like, no, because that could get ugly. You
really?
Know, like they don't, not ugly, but weird.
Yeah.
They don't know what to talk about within each other. They act differently.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some are socially awkward and
true.
You know, it's just, it's a weird vibe. Mm-hmm. And we would do different things. You know, what's fun to group A isn't fun to group B, and what's fun to B isn't to C, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just can't be into one thing.
That's it. I can't wrap my head around it. Like, I mean, and my problem is I feel a little hypocritical in saying that just because I also envy people who run into a lot more things. Like I don't watch nearly enough movies, and like everybody I know, like, is a cinephile, and like,
yeah, I'm not a cinephile, but I love movies.
Yeah,
or I like, watch a lot of them.
Yeah, I mean, people watch tons of movies. They watch them enough that they can quote them, you know, off the top of their heads. You know, you watch a lot of TV, and I'm always envious of like, I want to watch like,
I know, which my friends are like, how do you have that much time? Like,
what is it?
Don't worry about
Carriage House or Cottage House or whatever that you watch.
So close. Terrace House.
Terrace House. Yes, it's like a Japanese reality show.
See, I can't Netflix. Keep up with all the.
It's like a polite Big Brother.
Japanese people,
and it's the best thing, and I get like. Fashion inspiration from them.
Yeah.
So and home decor.
I can't keep up with that stuff.
I can't like, you either. Talk about wrestling. I'm overwhelmed.
So right now in the wrestling world, like that's just one thing. If I just try to keep up with what's on TV or Netflix and Hulu with that, right now you have WWE, which has two shows, a Monday and Tuesday night show. Then because they have the WWE Network, they also have what's considered their developmental, like a minor league brand called NXT, which I know people on that. So I watch it sometimes, right? But then you also have what's called Impact Wrestling, which is a whole other brand. You also have New Japan Pro Wrestling. You have Ring of Honor Wrestling. And all this stuff is televised to an extent or easily accessible. So these people who are like wrestling is life, they watch all of that plus some of the older stuff. And I'm like, whoa, I can't do that. And then there's you hear about all these new Netflix and Hulu shows.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that sounds interesting.
But keep up with all the new
I can't. Do you watch A Handmaid's Tale?
I haven't, but that's because I've chosen not to.
Okay.
I have
weren't
really,
you dreading it?
I have really crazy dreams, and I'm just like, I don't need to.
I haven't.
But it looks amazing. I've heard awesome
I haven't
things.
Watched it, but everybody, that's one. Yeah. Like Black Mirror, I tried to watch.
I've heard that's great, but I heard it can fuck with your head, too.
I watched like two episodes. This is not for me.
No.
I tried.
I heard it's like modern day Twilight Zone. It's like very.
I was told, you should watch it. Skip the first episode, but what? And I was like, okay.
I didn't
because I'm like, it looks too freaky.
I'm definitely a fan of the idea, like with that show, that you don't, it's not a serial. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to have seen other episodes to understand what's going on. And that doesn't overwhelm me. Because, like, what overwhelms me is when I turn on episode 5, season 3 of something, and like 80% of the references are like, I don't understand why this is funny. Like, that was what happened with me with, Always Sunny. I was like, I don't think this is a funny show. And then I sat down and watched it all the whole way through and was like, oh my God, this is fucking hilarious.
I've never seen every episode of It's Always Sunny, but I still think it's a hilarious
show. It is
show.
Good. It's really good.
And it's like all the Marvel stuff that's out there right now.
Yeah.
Like, I like it. I go see most, if not all, of the comic book movies, but now there's like 5 series on Netflix plus the ones that are on regular TV. And while like Chris Clem, who you know, is like one of my very best friends, and he loves wrestling too. So like we go to that, but he's also a huge comic book nerd.
Yeah.
I can't sit there and have a full-fledged conversation or argument with him. Like, no, man, like I like watching the Marvel stuff and we can talk somewhat about it, but usually I'm like trying to get him to educate me on it because I'm not there. There's so much to take in and I can't imagine just going down one level. For me, I'm still of the school thought, like, I want to kind of go to a movie and watch TV where I don't think and I'm just entertained.
Yeah.
Just laughed. Like, that's the escape, right?
That's okay.
For sure.
That's such a good point because that's one of the biggest things that prevents me from watching new series is that I'm worried that if I want to fuck off on my phone, I'm going to miss something and then I'm going to miss the whole point of the series and it's not going to make any sense. I want to be able to, like, watch a lot of things that I can just tune my mind out and just kind of have it. Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, they did like a half season. I've watched it. I've had it in the background twice, which I'm now up to speed on most of what went on, but I didn't have to be like laser focused on what was happening the whole time.
Right.
It's just a silly show.
Yeah, I'm still a loser that watches old reruns of Cheers. Like,
I watch The Simpsons every fucking day and
I watch
don't
care The Office over and over again.
I've seen The Office over and over. Now, see, The Office references like Cheers and some of this older stuff that I love multiple times. So that's part of what makes me love it even more is that it just references all the stuff that I enjoyed. I've watched Cheers through. I watched Friends. Maybe some of the problem is
I've seen Friends.
Yeah, like 100
several times.
Yeah.
I feel like it was easier when we were like growing up and it was just on once a week.
Yeah.
And no one to catch it.
Yeah.
And then you can't sit down and eventually you catch a rerun.
Yeah.
But you don't have to sit down for 20 hours. And
binge watching.
To get caught up to what everybody else is fucking saying.
Yeah, just have a favorite show.
Yeah.
It's your favorite show. You don't have to watch it because everybody else is watching it. I've
just
watched
simpler time.
There is a wrestler that I'm good friends with on the independent scene who is like his persona, which is very much him, is basically like this street thug, super badass dude. Like he will just say one wrong thing and he's going to punch you in the mouth.
Nice.
And that's who he, like, he he's from Yonkers, New York. That's kind of who he is. But our friendship, and you would never guess it, is based upon the show New Girl.
Yes, I love I love New Girl.
But so, we would text each other every single
Did you watch it?
And we'd go through this episode. And people see this guy and
so happy.
Like, it's public knowledge now of wrestling fans that know who he is and know who I am, that that's our thing.
That's your connection.
Yeah. And people think it's hilarious. Like, they just look at him like, really?
So I have a confession. I had to stop watching when they killed Ferguson. When they killed Ferguson, I was like, I'm done. I am so, like, they showed his little face, like, on the funeral flyer, and I was like, that's it! I just, like, turned it off, and I didn't finish the season.
But that episode was still hilarious.
Yeah, I literally turned it off after I saw he was dead. I couldn't deal with it.
I enjoyed the final season, only, like, what, 8 episodes or something.
Was it?
It was so good.
I have a problem, too, and it's not a problem, and this is a personal problem of mine. It wasn't the show's fault. When they do flash forwards, you know what I mean? And you lose a bunch of years. And that was what they did. They flash forward like 4 or 5 years from the last season or whatever.
Oh yeah.
And, I don't know. It just makes me think of, and they didn't do this, but it makes me think of like back in like the '80s and '90s when like Fresh Prince replaced Aunt Viv just one season. It was a totally different person. Or like Nikki was a baby. And then in the next season he was like 7, you know what I mean?
Fun thing about Nikki, 7-year-old Nikki, it took me forever to realize, that's also Will Smith's kid in Independence Day.
No shit. I never knew that.
What?
I watch Independence Day almost every Independence Day. And I was watching, I'm like, man, this kid looks familiar. I know I've seen him something else. And I think I've always thought that through the years, but I never looked it up. So finally I did. I was like, what? You're Nikki?
What the hell?
It's crazy.
I watched Independence Day on July 4th on a rooftop projector
cool.
in Mexico.
Aww.
That probably freak you out a little bit, though.
No, I loved it.
What I like about that is the fact that we celebrate Cinco de Mayo and you guys celebrated 4th of July in Mexico. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you guys eat donuts and like drink Bud Light?
No.
Or baseball caps?
No, we pizza. Just, that was it.
Toby Keith.
Hot dogs.
Yeah.
Whatever.
What the fuck do we do?
Yeah.
No, we just ate what we normally ate.
Did you guys not vote that day?
No.
Oh, you did vote that day. Well, you're not very patriotic. All right. So, okay. So we've established you love TV and you love movies. You love wrestling.
Yeah.
You have a podcast on wrestling. You also have a podcast on relationships.
Yeah.
Because you know a lot about, like, I mean, do you know a lot about, do you like talking about, I mean, I assume you like talking about relationships.
I don't mind it. That started because that was a very, I don't want to say a very real part of my life as if it's sadness, because it's not. It's fine. I was the kid growing up that everybody went to. It was the best friend of a lot of girls.
Yay.
And, you know, they wanted to be set up with my dude friends and not with me. And, you know, that was fine. And then dude friends would be like, oh, so you're friends with that girl? Yeah. What about, no, you're an asshole. You know? But, you know, certain guys, like, yeah, sure, whatever. Try it. Or you meet people who are socially awkward. Like, I have friends that are, and even if they were good looking guys, sometimes they, like, I have one friend in particular, he is a good looking guy, can't have a conversation with anybody. He's like so smart and he can't talk to girls just because he doesn't know what to do. So it's like, all right, dude, like, this is fine. And I know he wants to get married and want to have kids or whatever. So we go out, I'd start conversations, you know, and then I wrote the book, Memoirs of a Wingman. And to me, that was kind of like the voice. There were a lot of voices out there of guys who were like, yeah, I could be the wingman and I'm just smashing chicks left and right, bro. And that's what it is. You're like, dude, there's a whole grouping of guys that are the wingman or the best friend. And they're like, yeah, this kind of sucks sometimes.
Yeah.
So I wanted that guy's voice.
Perspective.
Yeah. So I did, but, you know, that's where it came from. I've just, through comedy, I've always been a very observant person. Mm. And I guess just in general. And so that's what makes me acknowledge things in relationships and stuff. You just pay attention.
Yeah.
And I think that's what a lot of people don't do. And sometimes it freaks people out how much I pay attention. Mm. And I catch on to little nuances, like, very quickly.
Mm.
And, you know, I can roll from there. There are very general things in dating and relationships, and then there are very specific things. So I will never sit here and be like, yeah, I'm an expert, because people are alike. They have similar tendencies, but then there are definitely aspects that make people very different.
Yeah.
So, like, typically if somebody does ask me for advice, I'm like, you know, this can go one of multiple ways. And I don't know if that's where the perspective comes in. Like, why should I even know the multiple ways?
Yeah.
This is a whole other thing. But
right.
I don't know. I don't talk about this often, okay? But we're talking about movies and TV shows. Obviously, I like shows like The New Girl, but that's very like rom-com-y.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm a guy that's like into wrestling. I talk about play football, but I mean, look, I've seen the Matthew McConaughey movies.
Yeah.
You know? I know how these things work.
Yeah. Harry Met Sally.
Yeah.
Classic rom-com.
Yeah, classic.
Staple rom-com.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Sleepless in Seattle.
Yep.
Followed up with You've Got Mail.
Mm-hmm. Meg Ryan, queen of the rom-com back in the 90s. Yep.
Don't cry, shop girl. It's good. You know, like, I know these things, so...
All right, so let's talk rom-coms.
Uh-oh.
Like, well, no, because... So here's the thing. I've had a hard time with them in the last 10, 15 years because they've seemed so, at least to me as a female, patronizing. I don't know. Like, it's just like, I'm... Like, it's always... There's so many cliches, I guess. Like, oh, I'm never going to get married and all my friends are getting married. And
27
like,
dresses?
Yeah, 27 dresses. And then there's also
train wrecked?
Yeah.
Sure.
Like, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I will say that I think they're a bit edgier, what with train wreck. Well, train wreck was edgy. Also, Bridesmaids was kind of edgy. So I like that they're getting a little edgier. But then at the same time, like... A lot of it's just like gross out humor too, like
yeah,
and that's
stupid stuff to me. Yeah. Gross out humor.
Getting diarrhea in your wedding dress is not funny
in the middle of the street.
Yeah, that's not funny. Yeah. It's not just not fucking funny. That's just
stupid humor. Yeah. I can get behind all day long.
Yeah, goofy.
But
zany, I can do that.
Yeah, gross out. It's like it's fine. You know, one of the greatest rom coms in the last 20 years that people miss and forget that it really is a rom-com is Wedding Crashers.
Oh, I love Wedding. I've seen it like 108
times.
You
don't think of it as being it, but
it's
what's
so
the basis?
Good.
What drives that whole story?
Oh, it's so good.
It's Owen Wilson going after Rachel McAdams.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it all comes together in the end.
Totally.
Like, yes, they're crashing weddings, they're doing this, they're doing that, but really...
It's a rom-com from the male perspective, which is, you know what I mean?
That
doesn't always happen because that's the problem. When it becomes so often pandering to like women,
then
I don't really get down with it because half the time, you know, those weren't even written by women. Those were just written by dudes who thought that like,
this must be what women think.
But that's what I love so much about Wedding Crashers is it was written from the male perspective of like, we're these he-whores that go to all these weddings and bang all these chicks. And then they finally both go to a wedding and like, I love like the Vince Vaughn sort of piece of it that's just like wackiness happening off to the side. But like he's literally falling in love with this chick
he's
and realizing
like
he doesn't want to be like the he-whore anymore. And
she out-wackies him and he's like, what?
Yeah, right? Yeah. And then I just fucking love Will Ferrell in that movie. It's like, Ma! The main love! Oh. Fuck! And all that was, of course, improvised because he's fucking Will Ferrell.
Oh,
yeah, that wasn't even written in there. Yeah,
you never know what she's doing back there.
What is she doing back there?
He's the greatest.
I need to watch that again.
Oh, God,
my favorite, I would call it a rom-com of all time. It's actually my number one favorite movie.
Okay.
It's from the late 90s. Minnie Driver, David Duchovny, Return to Me.
Oh, I've never heard of it.
Bonnie Hunt is in it. I think she directed it.
Okay.
A bunch of her family members are like small parts in it. It's really cute.
How do you feel about Serendipity?
That one was cheesy, but I liked it. I saw it in college.
John Cusack, Kate Beckinsale.
I love Kate Beckinsale.
How do you not?
So I was down.
It
was cheesy,
it was okay.
But I liked it.
It wasn't bad.
You know what else was a rom-com?
But you need to watch Return to Me.
I saw it at one point.
Okay.
Years ago.
So in college, I saw Serendipity and I was still in like the super girly girl phase where I could look past. I'm sure if I watched it now, I'd be like, this is garbage. But like back then I was fine with it. But what was another really surprising rom-com was Bandits with Bruce Willis, Kate Blanchett, and Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh,
and they ended up becoming a triad. And like Billy Bob Thornton and Bruce Willis were like, they took Kate Blanchett hostage and they both fell in love with her. And then they both, like, she fell in love with both of them and they became like a triad. And like, it was actually really
planet?
Fucking
no,
good.
Kidding,
no, I know,
that.
But it was really fucking
Jess's
good.
This reminds me of the episode
mean.
Of my podcast that you were on, Jess.
Yeah.
Like, of course, that's your rom-com. You know I mean?
Of course, in your rom-com, Kate Blanchett would fall in love with either of you.
Or both. Yes, this is true. All right. So you're into rom-coms, which is cool. What are other
that's what makes it relatable.
So, well, what are some other surprising things?
That's kind of like what the memoirs of a wingman thing is like. It's in very much when I sat down and wrote it, I wanted something that guys could enjoy and women can enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, so that was the goal there. Like, this needs to be funny and relatable to everybody.
Yeah. So how do you feel about the term friend zone?
So I know that there was an article written recently that I saw. Somebody posted on Facebook. I can't remember where it came from. And it was all about how it's a very demeaning term and that guys need to get over it and blah, blah, blah. You know, like a woman should not have to feel guilty. And
right.
I wholeheartedly agree, but this is going to give me a lot of trouble. I think that today's society, and this is why sometimes I'm quiet about the relatability that I have, like people try to call me like it's bullshit, but it's not. But I think we're very quick to take terms and phrases and make it offensive and problematic.
Yeah, definitely.
And I have used the phrase the friend zone constantly. And I know other guys who have, you know, I joke sometimes for a long time that I was like, I'm present in the friend zone or whatever. And I've had other people, I have known girls who have said they're stuck in the friend zone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not about the people that you're interacting with. It's a term about you.
Exactly.
You are doing something that gives off this, vibe that like.
And I'm in good ways and not. Yes. Like you're doing yourself a favor and a disservice at the same time, but you don't realize it.
And so
like that's saying good things about you if that many girls are willing to like be a trust you as a guy and be a close friend.
And if you're not a douchebag,
like feel like you'll protect them.
You respect that.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think it sucks when women are out there and they're like, well, this is an offensive term, and you know, and like have this call to action of people to stop using it. And from
what I think,
like,
they just misinterpret, because I think, to your point, they misinterpret it as like that's meant as a pejorative, like, oh, way to put me in the friend zone. And then you're now this guy that's whining about the fact that like he doesn't just want to be a friend and it's inconvenient to his dick. It's not that though, it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the fact that like. You as a person are, you know, emanating these vibes of like, I just want to be here for you and I want to give you.
You're giving too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's about how much are you investing?
Yeah.
Right.
And why? And should you be investing that much?
It's funny because
right away?
It always comes back to like sometimes those people are like, I shouldn't have to feel guilty about this. But what's odd is they are not perceptive enough, maybe, right? That somebody puts themselves in the friend zone because it's somebody that you're perhaps close to. They've had some sort of romantic feeling for you, and they've listened to you talk about what you hate in your relationship, all these things that you dislike. And because they have this love or any sort of affection with you, any level, they're like, well, I don't want to be that to you. I want to be the best of what you want.
Yeah.
And then that person gives it to you. And like, that's, you know, those are the guys and the ladies that get frustrated being in the friend zone. They're like, well, wait a minute. You just sat here and bitch about all these things. I'm none of those things. I am all the things that you claim you want.
But you're not attracted to me.
But yeah.
Or and whatever. Yeah.
And that's where I think it gets people into trouble, because I think if, you know, you sat down and asked somebody that question when you have those layers and you're like, well, why can't this work? And if somebody just said, you know what, honestly, I'm not attracted to you. That's going to suck probably for somebody at first, but
you can't hold it against them.
But you can't hold it against
them. We've all been in the position where we don't find someone else attractive and you have to empathize with that position.
But how many people don't give that honest answer, right? They give
some
sort of
bullshit,
string along answer,
yeah.
And you never get it. So you're always kind of holding out hope, or you're getting more frustrated. And that's when things really blow up.
I read that Aziz Ansari, also problematic, apparently, Aziz Ansari book about modern love. And he was talking about how they were surveying people our age about dating. And they were saying that they, like 89 to 95% of people our age want people to be honest with them.
Yeah.
But when asked, would they be honest with someone else about why they weren't interested, they said no. And it was like, can you not see the hypocrisy in your fucking, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
How do you expect something from some person that you're not willing to get?
The Aziz thing is, you know, is tricky, is interesting to me.
I'm not discussing. Yeah, whether or not he was in the wrong. I'm just saying that he's apparently also now problematic on the list of things.
Yeah,
that
for sure.
Are problematic that I don't wish to get emails about. But I think too, the problem is there's a lot of projection when people talk about how friendzone makes them feel guilty. That's a reflection more of that person who's feeling the guilt, I think, a lot of times. You know what I mean? Like, you're choosing to kind of take that on and interpret it as, like, this person's making me feel bad. I mean, there are straight up things that people can do to make that person feel bad for not being interested in them. But sometimes, like, if you're feeling that defensive about it, maybe it should be a self-reflection moment of why are you feeling so defensive? And maybe this has more to do with you than
right.
them. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I've actually had someone, like, thank me for being so honest with them.
There you go.
Like, a guy asked me on a second date and I was like, listen, you are like super sweet guy. I actually had a really fun time with him, but I didn't feel that connection and I knew that right away. And that's just something I can feel right away. And I was like, you know,
and we
I don't think I'm interested.
Perfect.
And he was just like, wow, thank you for the honesty.
We talked
and
about I was like, this oh. recently.
I was like kind of nervous to say it, but that's what you should say. You don't have to
it's
be like
a two-way thing. You have to a lot of the reason people aren't willing to be honest is because there's people who aren't willing to hear it. That's the bottom
line.
Sure. Like
if absolutely.
More people were being like that guy where it's like, well, thank you for being honest, I understand, goodbye, then more people would be like, oh wow, okay, I'm just gonna say. But most of the time you get defensiveness, you get arguing, you get,
and it's better to do then as opposed to date
down the road. Yeah,
so. I've been on the other end of it where it's like a good amount of time had passed and it's like, well, now I feel like shit because
I've definitely been there. That's
after
on
all
both
that,
sides or
yeah, maybe on both sides.
I mean, and that's when it really hurts. And it's not even that like I'm just like butthurt about it. I'm just like, wow, that
then you're
sucks.
Really confused,
like, because
right?
now that you're like turning down like everything about my person after all that time. You know what I'm saying?
Then,
right. like,
that's when it gets confusing. And then you do kind of want to like you start asking questions and you're like not getting answers. Like, well, no, I think that's a weird dynamic too, right? I think from a dating perspective, it shouldn't be bad to ask questions, right? Mm-hmm. So like if you told the guy, look, I just don't feel the chemistry. And I think that he probably could read, as long as you're telling him, like he can hear a voice, because texting sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody understands tone of voice then, right? But if you get a level of sincerity from it, then that guy's good, right? But if you're with somebody and it doesn't work out and you kind of maybe want to ask questions, because what if there's something really negative that you're doing? And let's say you've gone out with three or four people and it kind of ends about the same amount of time every single time, right? And so there's got to be something consistent that's happening here and you have no clue. I don't think it should be bad to ask questions, but also when people start asking questions, then people kind of like, feel like they're on the defensive.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you should just accept it. And it's like, no, I'm accepting it, but
just want to understand.
I'm trying to understand. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's kind of where we are too. People don't want to talk about things. It's crazy.
I mean, I think that's the core of so much of like the bullshit on social media that you see people fight. It's like, well, please explain to me like, you know, where did you read this? How did you see this? Oh, because I'm just not giving you every link to every act. Like, and it's like, well, yeah, no, I'm just trying to understand. Like, are you pulling this information out of your ass? Or like, I'm legitimately trying to ask you to cite your sources.
That's not even just relationships.
Yeah, no, I mean, in general, just the conversation about like, well, just explain to me, you know, where are you getting this information from? I don't have to explain myself to you. And it's well, you kind of jumped into this. So I mean,
stay out of that stuff because I'm just... Sometimes people tell me that I'm a fence sitter, but then like being relatable, like, well, no, because like I could step back and I'm going to see both sides of this.
Yeah.
And what I care about in the end are the facts and what's real. And I have so many problems with people just going off and posting things one side or the other when it comes to a political spectrum, because it's not just Republican and Democrat. There was so much in between. And unfortunately, the loudest voices are so far right, so far left. But if you look at it like you would a relationship, you know, it's like, let's ask questions. Let's learn about each other so that this goes somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how many relationships can work out and people you know,
it's about compromise.
Agree. Yeah, you don't agree on everything, but you find it. You got to look at America as a
relationship,
as a marriage. We're all in this together, and we have to go and we have to make it work because, you know, look, we're not getting a divorce here anytime soon. Civil war is not a good idea. Just, you know, history tells us anyway. It takes a long time. So, like, I'm not a fence sitter. It's just you guys. Sometimes you on the right are batshit crazy. Sometimes you on the left, you're batshit crazy. But
Someone the other day posted what Steve Jobs did for the landline phone. The internet has done for moderates. Like, it's just, you have to pick a fucking, like, you can't be in the middle. You can't say like, well, it's not so easy to say left or right. And it's literally this, if you're not with us, you're against us mentality.
Yeah.
And where the fuck are you supposed to sit when people on both sides think you're against them because you're not siding with either? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So like, I grew up with guns. That's another shocker to some people. They just think that I'm whatever. Like, no, because my parents were divorced.
Because you have all your teeth.
And yeah, exactly. And I'm not out here like trying to be Second Amendment. Yeah, yeah. So then like, I'm like, nah, I shoot guns. I own guns. Yeah. You know, that's the thing.
I don't think guns should be completely banned. I really don't.
And I have an open dialogue with my mom and stepdad, who are the gun owners of my four parents.
His stepdad looks like Schizo Marty, everyone. Hey, sorry. Come on. That came up. No, he's not. He's not. Schizo Marty's not a bad looking dude. He looks like Schizo Marty.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The comics. Always just trying to fuck up sentimental. You know
no, what I mean? I'm sorry.
You're trying to write one nice post about like your stepdad on his birthday.
And everyone's like, that's Schizo Marty. Like,
Schizo Marty? I mean, oh, I can't help but to be an asshole. You're like,
guys,
right,
please stop.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I just stay quiet. I'm like, oh, all right. I just can't help it. Like, don't know how to shut off my asshole button. It's like, you know, just don't do it. That's fine.
Just, we have fun.
Know, hey, we're all people at the end of the, you know, whatever. But you know, people, that shocks people. When I'm like, yeah, I shoot guns. Like, it's fine. We know. I'm like, God, shot a lot of guns. You know, so we talk about the semi-automatic deal. My parents have AR-15s. Okay. They have multiple of them. I have shot them multiple times. It's a fun thing to shoot, especially like target shooting, and it's solid in the right hands. But like the one thing I said is, you know, and I think I did this joke if you were at the show last week, is, you know, I talk about how people have to have the awareness. The biggest thing is, you know, I told my stepdad, I'm like, I get that we're good people and we have them, and I totally trust like you guys. Mm-hmm. And sometimes my fear is, because this is a very real thing too that people don't want to talk about, is if you take away all of those weapons, I don't know that I trust the government to just like dispose of them, right? Now they go in the hands of like shitty people. Yeah. And while I don't think everybody should have them, I sure as hell trust my parents, who I know are very responsible with them, than for them to just be floating around out there. Yeah. And that's a very scary thing. Mm. And so there's going to be like a lot of liberals who are like, oh, just say that you're in for the guns and whatever. But then it's funny because now I'd be attacked by a bunch of Republicans who are like, so you want everybody to just take away your guns? Like, well, no, that's not what I said. But, you know, my parents were smart in that. And my joke I do is people forget that just because you're good with your gun, a lot of like the school shootings, right, are kids who grab these guns from their parents. Why? Why do they have access to them? Right. In my house, I joke.
Two people.
I said there were two people in my house that had the gun safe code at all times growing up. Myself and my stepdad. You know who didn't have the gun safe code? My older brother. You know why? Because my parents knew he was an asshole.
Like,
he's a good dude now, but like growing up, he was an asshole.
They were like, oh, he cannot know that code.
Yeah, so like, he's not allowed to know where it is. He's not allowed to know. Because we had it written down at a couple secret places in case we forgot. He never knew. And like, my parents had that forethought, you know? And they were like, no, we got to be cool about this. Yeah. We got to be responsible. And so they never told him it.
Right.
But not every parent is going to do that. Right. So why can't you all have these things? It's not necessarily because of you, but it's because you're not willing to admit that your kid is an asshole. Like, you could be great. You know, Captain America, Steve Rogers, is an amazing human being. But if he has a child and he doesn't lock up his gun safe because he thinks his child's going to be Captain America, and instead his child turns into, I don't know, this probably actually exists somewhere in the Marvel Universe. I'm so sorry, nerds who are like going to
attack people, right. There's people just like their heads are exploding.
His name is this, you idiot. whatever. Maybe that kid becomes a bad guy. You know what
I'm saying? If there are Marvel nerds listening to this podcast right now, we salute you guys because I don't know what you've been listening to for the last 8 months.
I'm sure somebody will tell me the name of Captain America's
kid. Someone will write a letter and we'll forward it to you and say, hey, FYI.
But that, you know, that's another one that freaks people out. It's funny because you do that. So I went to Miami, Ohio for college. And one of my favorite t-shirts I used to wear, because I like the emblem and because of the material, and I like their weapons, Smith & Wesson. Mm. I like the way that they shot, and I owned one. Mm. So I had an economics teacher who happened to work for the Clinton administration, and also surprises people, by the way, that I went to Miami, because that makes me like a smart kid, because it was tough to get in there.
Yeah, see, that's a pretty hard school. It's not a party school.
Yeah, so it
can be, but yeah. You can't fuck around. Like, it's right. Not like OU or
right.
OSU
so it was like, oh, so you're a smart kid? Yeah, like, yeah. It turns out I am. Like, I made the choice to do stand-up comedy and not make money right now. Yeah. That was me.
Yeah.
But I had a teacher and, you know, super liberal Democrat, and I went after hours to get additional help one day, and I had my Smith & Wesson t-shirt on. The guy never helped me again. You son of a
so
bitch.
Stupid.
Like, I pay your salary, my tuition. Like, this is what you're here for, dude. Yeah. Like, you know, fine. If you hate it, let's do it after hours and, you know, make me a better person, right? You want to have that conversation? Let's have that conversation.
I just think everyone shutting down on both sides is getting us nowhere.
Yeah.
Ultimately is what it is.
Absolutely.
And we're bending this bent out of fucking shape over things that don't even necessarily affect us directly, but because they could by some theory. And, like, not to say you shouldn't get upset that things... that don't, like, I'm upset about the whole border thing with kids right now being separated from their parents. That doesn't affect me directly. And I think you should be upset about stuff that affects other people. But it amazes me to a degree that someone, you know, i.e. t-shirts, people wear things with t-shirts on them and they get like eggs thrown at them and get called names and, you know,
so
like,
crazy stuff.
And it's like, it's just, how do you have that much animosity in your life that you go out of your way to
right,
like,
how is that making it better?
Right. You're not fixing anything.
That's not changing my mind. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, if I'm somebody that's one of these extremes and I'm getting attacked by somebody else that's another extreme and, you know, they're doing something to, you know, okay, so let's say, I don't know, let's say I'm on board with, I don't know, only because it's a great offsetting thing. If I'm somebody who's on board with Trump, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm not, for the record. Yes. But, so disclaimer. Let's say that I am. And I have all these people who then hate him, and because maybe I'm wearing a MAGA hat, now they're going to kick the shit out of me.
Yeah.
I've never done any physical harm to anybody. I just think there's a couple solid policies that maybe worked better than what Hillary was going to say or Democrats were, right? Now those people kick the shit out of me.
And you're only going to be further pushed into your belief at
right?
that point.
Yeah.
And
like, well, why do I want to join?
And now you're a
your
martyr
side?
For every other MAGA person and anybody who's on the fence about MAGA.
Yeah, it's just a cycle.
And
it's
and so for bad. People to think that it doesn't happen on both sides. Oh, it does.
Yeah.
It happens on both sides. And that's why I chose that as an example, because sometimes people, more often than not, Democratic like party goers think that it's only Republicans that do that kind of thing. It's like, no way, man, it happens. Like, I've seen it go down, and like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Which, it's
I think
stupid.
If we all just admit that we're all shitty, like, if we're all like, no, we're all equally capable of being fucking shitty and
absolutely.
Stop this, like, well, they can be where, like, whataboutism is the absolute fucking poison to our society right now when it's like, well, so-and-so did this. Yeah, what about when this person did that? And it's just like, this gets us nowhere.
Everybody in America should be required to watch the Mr. Rogers movie that's out right now. It's a documentary.
Yeah, I wanna watch that.
Is it a documentary?
Yeah, it's a documentary.
Is it in the theaters?
It's fucking insane.
Or is it on Hulu?
It's
or?
Playing at Capitol Theater right now. It probably, I would guess, would come to like Netflix and Hulu sometime soon. But it's amazing. It seriously should
be. Is it just like how his show got started and who he was?
Yeah.
Okay.
And like why he did
it. Like his philosophy and like how intentional the show was. Yeah. And that nobody was making a show like that. And just like the type of person he was and what he was trying to teach. Like he was going to go to like seminary.
Yeah.
And instead was like television came out, like became a thing. And he was like, this could really be used.
Yeah.
For good. And like got into it. And he was always like really into like childhood development type stuff and like behavioral sciences and just like went with it. And his philosophy was always the exact same. Like,
he reached so many more people doing that than he ever would have going to seminary school.
Oh yeah.
I say that
that's
as the
exactly
grandson of a minister.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a pastor, I think he was like one of the interviews and he said, you know, like Fred Rogers was like helping people in a way that was like very much based on his faith that he had, but he never preached at anyone.
Yeah.
And he didn't wear a, what do you call it?
A collar?
He didn't wear a collar.
Yeah.
He wore a sweater.
Yeah.
And he showed you and talked to you and listened to you. And like, it was just, it's just so powerful. It's so good.
It's amazing.
What did you study at Miami?
So I ended up getting a degree in marketing.
Okay.
With a minor in business statistics.
Sounds like the same thing. I'm sure it's
a little
not.
Bit, but there's a lot more forecasting and stuff in it. It was more specific, very math heavy. I was pretty pissed because I found out that I was one class away from it being a double major. I'm like, why wouldn't
you just tell me that? Oh, no shit. Yeah, why wouldn't your counselor tell you that?
And then it turned out I was like one class away from management being a minor. I'm like, so I got a double major and have a minor?
Oh, wow.
Now, granted, like, I thought that college was a total joke. And so one of my proudest things is I graduated college doing the bare minimum.
Yeah.
You know, I got by, but I'm like, well, whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like I needed to go anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Is whatever. Yeah. That's a whole other thing.
What made you want to do that? What made you want to go into marketing and business management?
Oh, my family.
Yeah?
Yeah. You know, I wanted to go into comedy.
Okay.
And they were like, hey, we don't want to see you, like, struggle when you get out of school and, you know, all the good things that parents say because they care about you.
Right, right.
And they don't understand what your ambitions are entirely. Mm-hmm. You know, so, like, I was a kid growing up doing everything for... I lived my life what I thought would make everybody else happy. And I put a lot of my own stuff on the back burner. And, you know, comedy and entertainment was one of those things. And then the irony was I had to go back to school. I finished. When I came out, we were in a huge recession, right? And so there were, like, no jobs to be had, really. Yeah. And so I'm like, so I got that degree that you guys want to be plan A, and I don't have a job, much like if I would have just... gone and tried to do entertainment and comedy. And, you know, maybe I would have been done with the struggle at that
point.
But
now you have a parachute in case, you know, the economy does pick back up again.
I use it. Yeah. I mean, I use the marketing stuff. It's part of what I do. I've done social media and help people with marketing. So it's whatever. It's there. But I still feel like not everybody needs to go to college.
No, and that's the thing.
Certainly not for that amount of time.
Well, and I think ours was probably the last generation where it made sense, and then it became so oversaturated, and colleges just
charge
so much more money than it would ever normally cost or should ever need to cost to get an education now that I just think it's a racket. Like,
even by the time I was graduating CSU, it was like, you know, 2011, and I was graduating with a double major, and even at that point, it was almost like, well, you know, it doesn't really mean anything unless you have, like, a graduate, like, go to graduate school and stuff.
Right, and then it's just another hurdle and more money.
If you don't have a master's degree, then I'm like, but, when does it end? Like, I don't have anything specific. I want to go for a master's degree.
And, like, I was a kid paying for my college, you know?
Yeah, same here. Yeah. I paid all of my college. I mean, I'm still paying it.
It's crazy to think that. It's like, why do you need any of that? Tell me why you need to do that and then get a master's degree. When so many people come out of school... and they end up getting a job in something they didn't need anyway.
Right.
You know what I thought was crazy? I literally had this conversation today as I'm driving near, or maybe it was yesterday, whenever it was, but I'm driving near Steel Yard Commons in Cleveland. And it just popped in my head, like, how does one go and get a job at a steel mill right now?
That's a good question.
Why don't we know that?
I don't know. I don't know any steel. I don't even know any steel workers.
I know that the trade industry is, like, suffering right now.
And
everyone was pushed into colleges, and then all these trades are going to
die
away.
Oh, wow. I didn't even hear about
because
that.
Because there's,
that's
like,
crazy.
No handyman who can, like, do physical labor anymore.
You got
do these
all
trades.
All these college kids, right, coming out, and they know
who don't
how,
know how to change a tire.
Majors
how to
design and English stuff. Majors.
Right.
And, yeah.
And, or, but even, like, they're all want to be engineers, and they design it, and they write it down, but...
Could they change a tire? Or
I can't.
Could they... Yeah. Could they, like, you know, it's
who's
like...
Who's going to build these buildings that you design?
Rewire their house, if you know?
Right.
It's like...
And just amazes
crazy.
Me.
That's crazy. I never even thought of that.
It's got to... You got to go back to basics.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I will say this. I grew up in a very, 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 very small rural fucking town. And I will say that, especially in Cleveland, is still prevalent as far as I know a good, decent amount of people who... right out of high school, went right into, like, the Ford plant or, you know, like that kind of thing. So it's not, I mean, there's probably substantially fewer people than there were like working in plants and, you know, as you, to your point, tradesmen that are our age that are out there working. But I would say, yeah, there are a great deal less. It's just, I know like when I go home, like all of my cousins are literally like working in factories or working for FedEx or working as mechanics or, I mean, that's literally all they do.
I always kind of fantasize about working on cars.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
It's just a useful fucking thing.
There's a lot of bullets. Pick up a book.
Really fun.
Yeah, my brother works on his car all the time.
I loved like doing manual labor. Like, and now that I just sit at a desk all day, I'm like,
Well, that's it. One of my first jobs in college was I worked for the OSU Book Depository. And it was a physical ass job because we had to drive a giant ass van. And there's like 40 libraries on the OSU campus. And we'd pick up all these 40? Rare. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but there was probably at least 12. I mean, there's a lot of library. Like, I would never think that there's that many different types of libraries until I started going to a massive university. And we would go to every single one of these libraries at like 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and pick up literal like 50-pound crates full of old books that either no one ever checked out or were super rare, and we'd put them in the depository to preserve them. And so not only would we be picking up all these fucking crates of books and like loading them into the van, but then we'd be loading them off the van, and then we'd be carting them into the warehouse, and then we would have to operate a forklift to like put them up. We'd put them in these like cardboard drawers essentially, and then like put them up in like, it was so much physical work that when I like got out of college and my first job was like at a call center for a school supply company and sat on my ass the whole day, I was just like, where are all these jigglyness coming from?
Because I gained goddamn 30 pounds like almost instantly.
So my dad and I have a family side business. Brothers are kind of a part of it, not as much anymore, but we do landscape lighting, like uplighting of people's houses and trees.
Cool.
And he's obviously getting older. So like for the last few years, part of like me going to the gym and trying to stay in shape, not like to get beach bods and stuff, but it's because I had to do
so much
demanding physical labor, but I love it too at the same time. Like, God damn, like it's one of my weird dreams is to make my brothers go all in on this with me, because I have five nephews and nieces. I have two sister-in-laws, and it's like, you guys, this could be a whole, every single person can have some sort of job with us doing it, and we can build it. And that's such a dumb thing. But at the same time, I love that, because I'm like, cool, that's though. America right there. Like, that's, you know, that's me trying to like, this is the working man. Like, hey, we're going to build this thing and it's going to be a whole family thing. Like, it's great, but I love physical labor. That's part of it.
Yeah.
You don't have to. That's the thing. So today I was trying to decide if I wanted to work out or take a nap, and I was at my salon and I was telling my stylist about my dilemma. I was like, I don't know if I should go home and work out or take a nap. And he's like, I don't have a car right now. And so my salon is across the street from Platform in Ohio City.
Yeah.
I live in the East Bank of the Flats. And he's like, you could walk home. And I was like, I could walk home. And he's like, then you can take a nap as soon as you get home. And I was like, I could take a nap. So I walked from Ohio City
kind of like a ways
to the East Bank. It's 2 miles. It was a 45-minute walk. Okay. It wasn't too bad.
I thought it was more than that.
It was a 45-minute walk. I mean, it wasn't too bad. It was a nice day. But then I immediately went home and passed the fuck out until you came over and picked me up. And that was 6 hours ago. So.
It's like me walking home from the Cavs parade.
Oh my God. Yes. Everybody did that day. Everybody did. Adam walked back to Tremont. You walked
home.
My
legs
were fucking
like ripped.
Almost Lakewood.
I thought I was going to have to cut my jeans off of myself.
Well, because there was just, you couldn't get out. Like, were you downtown that
day?
Yeah,
I just kept hanging out.
Yeah. Like,
I was down there for a while. And then I was like, I kind of went into like a panic survival mode. I'm like, get out of the city. It's too many people here now.
Well, and the thing that pissed me off about the Cavs parade is that I lived in Playhouse Square when it was going on.
Oh,
and it didn't go through there, but I was real close. So I like slung a couple foldable chairs and a cooler over my shoulder. And I parked right down on the street, and I was like, yes, I got prime seating. All these people just start standing in the street, like in front of me.
Oh,
and it just didn't even matter. Like, and then I felt bad because there were people when I got there at 6 a.m. that had been there since 4. They couldn't see because everybody just stepped out in front of them into the street. And
I loved it, though.
It was chaos, man.
I mean, I love Cleveland sports, so.
Yeah. Cleveland loves some Cleveland sports, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Love our Cleveland sports, despite however dramatic. And I wonder if, like, we ever just become, like, New England or Boston or, like, New York, we just win all the time. Like, if we'd love them as much anymore, you know, if it was just like we take for granted, because Ohio State, I feel like we now take for granted, like, is just a fucking good team and we're always good and we're never going to be bad.
I'm not really
like,
an Ohio State fan, so.
See, I went there, so I grew up being an Ohio State fan.
I'd like to say that we wouldn't be that, because Cleveland, from all things that I know, wasn't that way back when they were winning all the time.
Yeah.
You know, we're not old enough to realize that Cleveland was like sports dynasty.
Yeah.
Between the Browns and, you know, points
which,
the Indians.
Which, just saying that alone makes me laugh. Like,
crazy,
the
right?
The Browns were
the
doing
Browns
stuff.
Were won like seven championships or something in a row. Like,
it's so
nuts.
Crazy.
When I was like eight, I think we went to the AFC Finals or something and then lost to Denver or something. It was back in the day. You kids are all probably
the Browns?
Young. Yeah, the Browns, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of like my first early memories is stuff like that. Yeah. No, that would have been AFC Championship.
Was AFC
going into
Championship.
The Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It was one of the John Elway games.
That's right.
Either
that's
the
right.
drive or
the drive. I think it was the drive. Yeah.
One of the two.
I don't know. I was eight or maybe less. I don't know. But
it was rough.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, as long as I've known Cleveland sports, we've always kind of been just there and then just somehow blow it. So, I mean, it was fun being downtown the night we won. I have far more better nostalgia about that than the actual parade. The parade, in my opinion, sucked real dick.
But. I was down there with my dad and my stepmom the
yeah.
night they won.
Aw, did you guys have your guns? Did you fire them into the air?
No, so this is the family that doesn't own guns. Actually, my dad now owns his first gun, and my dad's a guy that, for the most part, voted Democrat most of his life. And oh, by the way, learned that from his father, who voted Democrat most of his life. Hilarious thing, Democrats can be racist too, as my grandfather was. When Obama ran at Thanksgiving, I had one of my younger cousins, and this was like right before Alzheimer's really hit him too. I was like, ask him who he voted for, because I wanted to know. And she was like, oh, grandpa, like, you know, who did you vote for? He's like, I voted for him. I voted, like, so upset. And I was like, oh, man, like, so the party lines are that thickly drawn at times of people that he was like, I'm a racist, but I'm going to vote for this guy. I was like, what is
maybe that was just an age thing, though, too.
I
mean, like,
I don't know. It's crazy because that's just the way stuff works. But anyway, my dad owns a gun now and made me go with him. So he knew, understood things about him. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. But no, we were not down there with guns, but it was awesome.
Someone did shoot guns.
Yeah, the parade. During the night of the win. I don't think anyone was shooting.
No,
the day of the parade.
There was like a shooting. Yeah.
Well, no, I know because my parents drove up from Mansfield
like
to meet me
fight,
for the parade, and they couldn't get up because like it just there was too much traffic, and the RTA stopped running because there was too many people.
Yeah.
So they just turned around and drove an hour and a half back home because they couldn't get to me. And so then they decided to watch it on TV and they knew that I was there. And then immediately, like after the parade ended, there was a shooting and my phone just lit the fuck up and it was like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm fine. I'm home. I've been home for like 20 minutes.
Yeah. Well, it was scary too, because no one actually had cell service when you were downtown.
Yeah.
Cause
it was just too many people.
Yeah. It was just too much.
It's a hot day too.
Yeah. It was hot. People were passing out like flies around us at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had what I called the champion's tan going. I was so pumped. I was sunburned so bad. I had, like such a farmer's tan. I was like, this is a champion's tan. This is what you get when you
stand outside.
I mean,
you were like wine colored, you know, you had the rocking the calves colors.
I was like, I'm on board with this, whatever. Like sun lotion did nothing that day because you were out for so long.
Oh yeah.
I love that this topic basically was already like potpourri or cornucopia. And then it just fit like our normal format, which is we can't stay on fucking topic. And it just,
not
staying on topic was the whole point.
But that's
like,
the point.
That's the point. And that's what I love is that like we didn't have to. I think the hardest thing about the show, as much as I love doing the show, is that like sometimes the topics are just like I've got to like think of something else to ask because I just don't know anything about the topic at hand. And this was just like, oh, wait, now we talk about rom-coms. Oh, wait, now we talk about guns.
I mean, I'm a cornucopia.
I know.
Things.
That's what I mean. You are very relatable because you can talk about anything.
Crazy ass musical taste.
Yeah.
Know? I like me a good musical.
You like musicals? What's your favorite musical?
All right. There is one theme to my life. Yeah. Probably my favorite musical of all time, 1776.
I don't know that one.
Oh, it's all about the Declaration of Independence.
Hell yeah.
It's fantastic. Mr. Feeny plays John Adams.
He's still alive. I'm saying he's still alive. I feel like he's on the precipice of death.
I don't know. This is like in the movie adaptation of it, has Mr. Feeny playing John Adams. And I don't remember the Mary Poppins movie?
Yes.
There was like the very eccentric guy that had like glasses, was balding and white hair, and he talked to him like,
Yeah.
He plays Ben
Franklin.
He's
in a bunch of stuff.
Right on.
And I'm like, oh, who are all these? This is crazy. And like,
I just had a flash to the Office episode with Ben Franklin, who thought he was a stripper.
Boxers or pantaloons? Well, aren't you saucy?
Is it true you had syphilis?
He did, but I don't.
My real name's Mark.
I invented electricity. Feeling a bit of electricity between us right now. Didn't Benjamin Franklin have syphilis? Yes, but I don't. Best pickup line ever.
Oh my God.
Seen that show too many times.
I really was on board with this Greatest Showman movie.
Yeah.
You know, that came out. I've seen Phantom of the Opera multiple times.
So good.
We just sing a lot of the show tunes in choir in high school. So I knew a lot of shows.
Rent is very big in my family.
Oh yeah.
My dad and stepmom's.
I do love that. All the music
and
everything.
We saw it in New York, and Scary Spice was Mimi, which was cool.
What? Mel B?
Yeah, Mel B. Before, she was on America's Got Talent, had this huge resurgence. She was playing Mimi, and we went as a family. It's my dad, my stepmom, my older brother, my two stepbrothers, and we took the family trip to New York. My younger stepbrother was probably like 18, or maybe not quite yet, because he was just graduated high school. But my other stepbrother had cancer really bad, and so this kind of became like a movie that we rallied around. So while, you know, it's about the AIDS epidemic, but there's so much more. If you look at it at surface level, that's what it is, right? But the songs and the message that it gives you about, you know, no day but today and not taking anything for granted just
so good.
Hit us, you know, so much. And so much so that my stepbrother, who was my very best friend, I knew him since we were toddlers. That's how our parents ended up meeting. When they were both divorced, his mom would bring him to my dad's house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Scandal.
Get it.
So, he literally died. We were sitting there singing Seasons of Love to him, myself and my younger stepbrother.
God.
As obnoxiously almost as possible, but trying to sound good too, but like just fun. And, you know, because the doctor's there and he's on hospice and we're at home and we're all surrounding him and they're telling you, he's got to let go, he needs to be relaxed or whatever. And
this is the most heartfelt story.
Yeah, so there was kind of like this whole guilt thing put on me and my younger stepbrother because we were all so very close. But my older brother had lived away for years. But my stepmom and their dad came to us and said, you know, the doctors are telling us and his therapist, because he had counseling going through cancer and everything, like, you guys kind of have to tell him that you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Because he is in excruciating pain. And the reason, as far as everybody knows, that he has been fighting for the last however long, like, nobody told us that it was over. Yeah. He went into remission multiple times, but nobody told us that this time, like, that wasn't going to be the case. Yeah. And so, like, you guys have to tell him you're going to be okay. And because he thinks, you know, he can't give up, because who's going to look after you guys? Because he and I were, like, very much the ones who look after everybody in our family. Our brothers, our cousins, you know, our parents, to respect. And so that was the thing. We sat there singing Seasons of Love to him and to bring a relaxed thing. And so that musical in itself just has
God.
A very near and dear place in my heart. Like, when I was at Miami, Mark, I can't think of the actor's name, the guy that played Mark in the original cast, but he was in Adventures in Babysitting too, which is a great movie that I love. So he was there, did like a talk, and I just waited. I waited out the line, and it was probably the year or two after my brother had first been diagnosed. And so, like, I just told him, and it was like a couple years after we'd seen it, not on Broadway, but in New York, wherever. And I was like, look, man, this meant so much. And we went and saw the movie together as a family, because the movie, I think, came out only a couple years after we saw it in New York. And I was like, I gotta say yeah. thank you, all this stuff. Aww. And so that's a huge weird thing to me.
That's crazy. Ugh. I love it. Oh my God. That's so good. Great. We got to wrap it up. Steve Guy.
We didn't even get to everything.
I know. We never do. We never do. Where can we find you on social media?
The Steve Guy.
Okay.
That's my Twitter. Somebody was a jackass and took it on Instagram. So on Instagram, it's The Guy Steve.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. You know, I feel like people probably mesh those things together. Yeah. Day and age. So like, dude, if you didn't have The Steve Guy on Twitter, what the fuck do you need on Instagram?
Right.
Don't you want that shit to match?
Yeah.
You know?
A lot of people aren't on Twitter. That's the thing. Like, oh, well, Twitter is it. Like, true. Gigi's yeah, not, I'm Twitter. Not on Twitter. Elizabeth's Twitter. Not on Twitter. There's a lot of people not on Twitter. She's like, maybe I should go in there. I'm like, don't fucking do it. It's so bad. It's such a hysteria factory and you'll get sad inside.
I have wingman accounts. I think that I'm going to, as I was telling you before we started doing this, part of my whole thing has been like I am all these different things and I've tried to keep them separate, mm-hmm. and that's what I wanted to do with like the wingman stuff and a little bit of wrestling things, and now finally after X amount of time I'm just like, screw this, it's too much work. Yeah. Like, you guys are either on board or you're not.
Yeah.
Like, let's have a conversation because I can literally talk about anything.
Yeah.
And so I'm, you know, the wingman guy or those counts, but there's not gonna be anything there.
Yeah, don't worry about that. Just focus on The Steve Guy on Twitter and The Guy Steve on Instagram. Gigi, where can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram at ggchick, g.g.chick.
You can find me at epicfaul, epicfaul on Instagram and Twitter. And I want to thank Pete Milk for doing our recording and production, and Above Below Entertainment for being our network. Okay, love you, bye.